Earlier this year, Lexington Mayor Jim Gray gave his 7th State of the City address in which he confronted the mounting issue of gun violence.
We're reminded every time a tragic and regrettable event occurs that Lexington is not immune.
On this week's Eastern Standard, gun violence in Lexington, Mayor Jim Gray and Chief Mark Barnard join us live from City Hall. We'll also meet Laura Hatfield, Executive Director of Partners for Youth, and Chris Ford, Commissioner of Social Services. We're interested in your questions, comments, or personal stories. Has gun violence touched your life in some way? Write to us now, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. In a few minutes, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard on 88.9 WEKU. From WEKU and the Lexington City Hall, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I am John Hingsbergen. It seems every day we hear of another shooting or a gun-related injury or death on the nightly news or our morning news on WEKU, for that matter. Just this week, a man was found shot to death on the front lawn of a house in Berea. However, the majority of the stories seem to be coming out of the bigger cities across Kentucky, and that's why we are here today at Lexington City Hall to talk about the issue of gun violence, a topic that has been on our minds and the minds of many of our citizens for quite some time, and certainly on the minds of city officials. I'm John Hingsbergen, and I'm pleased to be here at City Hall with Mayor Jim Gray and Chief Mark Barnard and a couple of other guests. Mayor Jim Gray, thank you so much for helping to make this happen today.
Oh, John, thank you for being with us. It's always great to be actually to listen to your show. I will say that first things first.
We'll write that down and make note
of
that.
because it always brings thoughtful conversation to us, and that is useful in democracy. Thank you.
Mayor, we've been wanting to get this together, and that's one of the reasons we decided to come down here to City Hall. And we've relied on your office to help us put this program together. Tell me why we have invited two other guests to join us in addition to yourself and Chief Barnard.
Well, Commissioner Chris Ford is Commissioner of Social Services for the city. He's also a former council member, our first district council member. And Chris, his role today is dealing largely with at-risk individuals in our city. And he's done a remarkable job, and he will share with us many of the accomplishments and the initiatives that we're underway with, including doubling our commitment, our resources, our investment annually in our social services, many of our outreach to our partners who are engaged in the efforts to contain and violence and to encourage our young people, especially in paths that will give them opportunity in life. Laura Hatfield does a remarkable job in leading what's called our Partners for Youth initiative. And through that work, Laura has engaged so many in our community, again, giving positive opportunities. And that's what we're so much focused on. You're going to hear from me, you're going to hear from Chief Barnard about the law enforcement initiatives, public safety, from the police point of view, the enforcement point of view, and the challenges that we have there. And then from Laura and from Chris on how we're reaching out into our community to give encouragement and opportunity.
Okay, Chris and Laura are here with us, and we'll hear from both of you as we move along during our program. But thank you both for being here with us for this week's program. And let's turn to Chief Mark Barnard. Chief, we're talking about an issue that is very much in your area of responsibility, law enforcement in the community. I had one of our producers pull up a list. I was telling Mayor Jim Gray before we went on the air. I get a little choked up when I think about this. I look at this long, long list of all the shootings that have occurred in our area. And I see on here, January 18th, a 15-year-old shot at least once in the stomach. That was Robert Durham. February 25th, an argument led to a deadly shooting, a 32-year-old charged with murder. Multiple recent shootings, none deadly at the moment. An 8-month pregnant woman was shot recently, gave birth after the shooting, was in the headlines on March 28th. We go back to December 5th of 2016, a two-year-old dies when shots fired during the overnight. October 16th, the tragic shooting of Trinity Gay late night at a Lexington restaurant. And again, there are many, many other shootings that are documented here as having occurred in the community. Chief Barnard, how big of a problem is gun violence in Lexington compared to bigger cities, compared to Louisville, compared to Cincinnati or Indianapolis?
Well, I think you have to look at it from the perspective of people that are being victimized. So when we talk about truly innocent victims, when you talk about Mariah Coleman, who was just out walking her dog, and two other individuals or three other individuals are involved with at-risk behavior involving narcotics and exchange gunfire, then she's being victimized, and her unborn child. Those are the things that we're looking at. We look at risk behaviors with victimization and, you know, how to limit becoming a victim. But in Lexington, we have seen, like throughout the country, we have seen a rise in gun violence. It is, when you look at the CDC from age 15 to 24, the number three cause of death is homicide now. Most of those are with guns. And suicide is number two, and unintentional deaths number one. Throughout the country, I think we have seen in this age group, and we have to look back at it, at root causes of why this is occurring for this age group and what they're involved in or what they don't have and a lack of. And what Mayor Gray has done is, it's not only a law enforcement perspective, he realized that and he brought us to the table. He's done an inventory and asked us to do an inventory throughout the city to see what resources we're pinpointing towards violence, gun violence, and deaths. And what do we bring to the table, and do we have any gaps? And he realizes, and I realize, I have to depend on social services and other entities as much, because when you're looking at root causes of violence and deaths and homicides, you have to figure out what those relationship values are and what are the resources that the city has and other entities outside of our organizations have, and take those and target it towards the root causes. So that's currently what we're doing. We're in the midst right now of doing those inventories, bringing people together, and trying to target our resources at where we think we get the best.
So too often in law enforcement, you're called in, of course, when the emergency happens. The 911 call comes and officers go to the scene of a shooting or an incident. But we're talking about going back to prior to those events and actually getting involved in prevention.
Absolutely. So when you look at the intervention, prevention, some of the other issues, community involvement, taking every resource, what we have within the city and outside with some of our other partners. For instance, Natalie's Sisters, we know that we have an issue with prostitution. We always have throughout the cities. But instead of looking at it as an enforcement issue, now we bring in faith-based communities, other organizations that identify why that person is involved within that trade, and then try to help them get out of it instead of just incarcerating them.
Mayor Jim Gray, as the face of the city in so many ways, you're concerned with the bigger picture than just one specific area. How do you feel, how do you communicate to the city and beyond about the value and the lifestyle and the quality of life in Lexington related to a crime of this type?
Well, I think, John, you know, it's so important to put all of these issues I've learned in this job, all of these issues that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, both strategically and tactically, to put it in context. And putting an issue like public safety and violence in context for a city like Lexington is important, and for your listeners it's important. 20 years ago, Lexington's population, for example, was 237,000. 237,000. Today, it's 310,000. So you can see that's been a big increase. Over that period of time, violent crime has actually declined by 60%. Now, but what we have today, of course, and in many respects, this is a good thing for a democracy. We have instant news. We have 24/7 news. And so any level of violence that occurs, any incident that occurs, as alarming as it may be, is going to be reported, and it's going to be reported quickly. Now, this is also a challenge to our law enforcement people, like the chief, to deal with then the expectations. How do we put this in context? Of course, I know that a safe city and a city with a quality of life, a compelling quality of life, is extraordinarily important for economic progress and opportunity. And so all of these issues go hand in hand, which is why then I routinely say that public safety is my first priority. We don't get to these other issues, you know, if we don't have a safe city. But I think it's important for your listeners to know, for our citizens to know, that Lexington, by contrast with other cities our size, is, yes, a safe city. Now, when there's been a crime in your neighborhood, then you don't want to hear the mayor saying,
right,
this is a really safe city.
It doesn't feel so safe.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we understand that. And that's why what the chief was just talking about in terms of continuous improvement, in terms of collaborative efforts, in terms of connecting all of the initiatives that we're underway with through the city and through partners, the faith community, for example, where so much work is going on. But we know, the chief hadn't used this language yet, I haven't used the language yet, related to the challenges that we have with drugs and how much of that represents a root cause. Now, we're fortunate to some extent that the federal government has acknowledged that these issues exist through the Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act. Half a billion dollars was committed to it. $1 billion was asked. We need help. Cities need help. Communities need help. It's not just in the cities. You mentioned a regrettable homicide in Berea. And it's not just in the cities. It's in our rural communities as well. These challenges and how much of that we need to address through the root causes, and especially drug addiction.
We're talking about gun violence on
gun
this week's
violence.
Eastern Standard.
So the chief can really comment on it.
And I want to let me just mention to our listeners that this is an interactive program, and we really had not given that contact information yet. As we move into our program, as we move along in our conversation, we encourage you to be part of our conversation with your questions, your comments, your personal stories. Has your life been affected by gun violence or other forms of violence? Please feel free to write to us by email. Let me give you the email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at wekuest, and we will open the phone lines soon. Go ahead and call in 800-621-8890.
Yeah, I just want to footnote one thing. John, earlier I said the rate of violent crime is what I was describing. The rate of violent crime is actually in 20 years declined by almost 60% in Lexington. That's rapes, homicides, and robberies. But as I said, too, that doesn't relieve the anxiety that many may have when there's a crime in your neighborhood, when it affects you in your neighborhood.
We want to talk about the causes, and we're probably going to have to do that after we take a station break in a few moments. But Chief Mark Barnard, the mayor mentions drug abuse. What are the issues? Is that like high on the list of one of the causes?
It is one of the in the forefront of everything that we're seeing right now. Just last night, it's not unusual to see 3 to 4 overdoses from heroin in Lexington right now in one evening. Narcan has certainly helped the death rate of the overdoses because we're able to respond quickly. But you see your property crimes go up. You see the violent crimes go up. You see your robberies go up. So it is the number one driving force of what we're seeing right now with violent crime.
We're going to take a short break and come back. We'll be away for a minute, and then we'll be back with Mayor Jim Gray, Chief Mark Barnard. We also have with us Laura Hatfield, Executive Director of Partners for Youth, and Chris Ford, Commissioner of Social Services and former council member on this week's Eastern Standard. WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Give us a call and be part of today's program with your questions, your comments, your personal stories. 800-621-8890. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen, and this week our program originating from Lexington City Hall as we talk about gun violence in Kentucky and specifically focusing on Lexington. We are glad to hear from you. To be part of this week's Eastern Standard, write to us, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. Give us a call. I know there is a caller waiting on the line. If you do get on the line, please be patient with us. Stay with us, and we will get to you eventually once we're ready to start getting some listener interaction in the program. 800-621-8890. Mayor Jim Gray and Police Chief Mark Barnard are with us, and we'll also draw into the conversation shortly Laura Hatfield and Chris Ford. But let's come back to those issues of the causes of gun violence. And Chief, you're talking about drug abuse and overdoses and so forth. a drug overdose, a person is affected, their family is affected, others are affected. When does the drug problem become crime or become violence and injure others, especially innocent bystanders?
Well, what we see quite often is drug deals that are taking place in exchange of gunfire and innocent victims that are being hit with the gunfire. So the drug interaction that we're seeing right now into our society, and heroin is so available everywhere that you turn in America right now. It is being imported into the United States. It is available everywhere. And it's something that for $30 someone can readily get. So we have doubled our narcotics unit enforcement looking at that. We work with the ATF, FBI, the DEA, U.S. Marshals, and the Secret Service. We have task forces that we address some of those issues, looking at not only the economic part of it, but the narcotics part of it. We work with social services with some of the addiction issues that we have going on. So you have people that will come into a community. We have a lot of people that come in from Detroit or Chicago that we hadn't seen in the past. They bring cultures and values from where they grew up. They bring those to Lexington. They honestly try to set up shop. And we look at those individuals and we work those cases with our federal partners and develop those cases as best we can. The information that's out there right now, the social media aspect and investigating cases and looking at them from social media and from interactions and messaging back and forth, it gets a little bit more difficult. But we also see a lot of information put out there. And so we see those interactions going on. We see exactly what they're bringing into town. And we're trying to address it at a federal level, not only that, and at the state and local. But it takes a lot of people coming together. Crime is a reflective of a society, so it looks at the values, and right now we have a very addicted society. And so when you have those addiction issues and you don't work or you don't have the economic opportunities to support that addiction, you're going to turn to crime. And that crime leads to victimization of others.
And Mayor Jim Gray, so with these problems, yeah, this level of crime, so what does this cause you to do? How do you, from your position, say, hey, let's take some action? What can you help make happen that will solve that and make the community safer?
Well, first things first, John, it means, and it has meant, increasing the number of officers, actually on the street in Lexington. Since I've been mayor, we have added 45 officers. That's since 2012. Today, our authorized strength stands at 600 officers. Now, if you look back as few as 25 years ago, as many or as few as 25 years ago, a standard used to be one officer per 1,000 population. And that would mean that we'd be around 300. Today, that metric is more like two per 1,000 population. So that's why we are today at 600 in authorized strength.
Is that a national standard? Is that something that's occurring
elsewhere?
The
standards really, they sometimes vary, but that's a number, that's a barometer, that's a pretty good barometer that mayors use in making budget decisions, in making decisions about these issues. But, John, a lot of this goes beyond just measurements and metrics. It goes really to your very core. Mark and I, the chief and I, have met often with victims and with the families of victims. And when you are there and when you're having these conversations and you see that struggle, you experience that in a very personal way. You can't escape it. And that's why often doing more than what we say, you know, it's like you can't accept someone saying, well, we're doing all we can. We have to think about continuous improvement. We have to think about how we're going to address often these really deeply embedded cultural issues that we've got and we're struggling with as a country. And that's what you're going to hear from Laura, you're going to hear from Chris about, how as a city and how we are embracing partners, not just government, but our partners in the private sector who have an interest in these issues, our partners in the faith-based community who have interest in these issues. So, yes, you know, the answer is you got to work on it from so many different dimensions so that at the end of the day, we can say we really are doing all we can.
So many of the public, they will see the speeches made on the floor of city council. they will see the mayor's state of the city.
City address, right. The budget address.
And
right.
They will see news conferences after major crimes. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Why don't we go ahead and Chief, yeah, from new, then we will make a transition and get Chris Ford and Laura involved in the conversation here.
Well, I think that the one thing that really stood out and was really important to me, and then when we started talking about violence and victimization, and it started really with Jonathan Krueger, who was here, that was a student at UK who was murdered off of Maxwell Street. Mayor Gray and I went, and we went to the funeral, and we spoke to the family, and when you're sitting in those rooms, and it's, I hate to say that we've sat in too many rooms, Kwame El-Amin when we met with the family, Dr. Jitmud's son, Saladin, when we met with them. You're sitting in those rooms with the families, and he's right. They don't want to hear is we're doing everything. And when we left those rooms with Trinity, when we left, he looked at us and he said, we got to do more. It can't just be on the police. We got to bring everything that we can to the table to focus on what is causing these events to happen and take it and break it down each section and look at it. What are the underlying factors that cause these incidents to occur so that we go back to the families and saying we're throwing everything that we know that we have, our resources, towards these issues. That focused attempt to me is much more important than just saying it's a public safety issue, because underlying issues occur in the family structure, in schools and education. The one thing that we know now, if a child can't read by third grade, they're not going to graduate from high school. 80% of the men populating our prisons now don't have a high school degree. So there's a correlation between it. So there's all sorts of social issues, which is why it's important, just not public safety, but social issues, and that's why Commissioner Ford's here to help look at some of those.
Yeah, let's turn to Commissioner Ford, Chris Ford, former council member, now Commissioner of Social Services. First of all, what is social services all about? What is that your department dealing with in the city?
Our department has a great fortune to work with families in neighborhoods across our community. And today's roundtable discussing such an important issue illustrates our city's commitment to not only enforcement, but empowerment. And so as Mayor Gray, when he started his term in 2011 with a focus on being a great American city, we knew that also meant having fabrics of safe neighborhoods and strong communities. And so the Department of Social Services, we provide services, we like to say, from the cradle to the rocking chair. And we meet the focus of, we're a network of resources and expertise which service the unmet basic needs of, again, multi-generational constituencies. And we hope to empower vulnerable and underserved residents with high quality services, effective programming, and viable resources. We have client-based services, again, with families, youth, adults, vulnerable adults, and even seniors. And then we also do it, as the mayor mentioned earlier, through partnerships. We've long had community engagement efforts related to domestic violence, Partners for Youth that Laura will talk about here soon, multicultural affairs, and also substance abuse, which is our newest engagement activity, but one of our busiest and more important right now. It's important to note that over the last 6 years, we've made substantial investments and finding ways to be even more efficient with those. Our department has 117 full-time employees, of which 30 or so are social workers trained to deal with those acute issues that families are facing. And our direct outlays that we provide to our nonprofit, faith-based, and community partners now total $7 million annually, which is almost double from what it has been in prior years.
So specifically on this issue of gun violence, Commissioner
yes.
Ford, what is your department doing related to curbing or doing away with gun violence?
We are focusing on some of the root causes. We want to strengthen the family network and some of the root causes that have been mentioned. Substance abuse, affordable housing or lack thereof, some of the academic achievement gaps that some of our students are facing, language access barriers for those in multicultural across our communities. And all of those things impact your ability, as the mayor often mentions, one of the most important things that our residents pursue our jobs, economic stability. And we're making great progress, we think. Not enough, but we're illustrating that working through the health department with our needle exchange and our substance abuse work, we are not only working very closely with public safety, but trying to lead folks to recovery and treatment to make them well from some of their addictions. We've made great investments in affordable housing. Lexington, fortunately, over the last 15 years, has pretty much eliminated our housing blight across our community with investments in our housing trust fund and our homelessness work. And then we have a really strong partnership with Superintendent Manny Calk and the members of the Fayette County School Board. So we work hand in hand, public safety, enforcement, and we look forward to our role complementing that with empowering families.
And where does social services fit in? It's a department of the Lexington Fayette government?
Yes, sir. We're a department consisting of four divisions. We're fortunate in a city of our size, not many have social service delivery as robust as we have it. And I like to think it's because of our characteristic as an urban county government, which allows us to work more closely with what generally are considered state functions, relying on federal resources.
I mean, many people are skeptical about social services in terms of funding, allocations for funding. Yes, give a lot of money to law enforcement, hire more officers, make sure that we have strength on the streets to respond to crime. Are there challenges, Mayor Jim Gray, to balancing out those funds between law enforcement and social services?
You can see several laughs around the table.
Absolutely.
As you
we,
ask
we
that
can
question,
hear them on the
John,
radio.
You can
yeah.
hear them on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of constraints. As we're putting together a budget, my budget address is scheduled for just a few days from now, and I have learned that having been in the private sector, having been in business pretty much all my career, and going through these same processes, I have learned that the constraints and the constituencies in the public sector are exponentially greater than they are in the private sector in a business. Now, that is to say that simply that you have choices and we have decisions that we have to make. But what you're hearing around the table is that we're dealing with the front line, and we're dealing with that effectively. The authorized strength of our police, as I mentioned, is 600. We're examining ways that we can even encourage perhaps and increase that. But we're also looking at root causes. And this is what is so tempting to ignore. It's so tempting to say, you know, let's just deal with the problem of the moment. But
catch the criminal, lock him up.
Catch the criminal, lock him up. And we know that the cost of incarceration is enormous. And so what Chris Ford was just talking about, what you're going to hear from Laura and Partners for Youth, is the ways in which, as a city, just a few examples of the way in which the city is addressing. Let me give you a very specific example. We have a program which is called Summer Youth Employment, and this gives young, at-risk kids the chance for employment with companies in our city. The city actually sponsors this, pays these young people over a multi-week period. We've doubled the number of youth that are served through this program annually, from around 150 to now, I think, Chris, more than 300.
Yes, sir.
All right. That, John, is a very specific example. Now, that costs money, and you were talking about, do you have constraint? Do you have competing challenges? Yes, we do. But we're working hard, and we're working deliberately and intentionally to address these challenges.
Let's turn to Laura Hatfield. Let's get Laura into the conversation here and talk about the Partners for Youth. Where does Partners for Youth fit into the picture here? Is this a city agency or a government-funded agency?
Yeah, you could look at a quasi-government agency. We fall out of the mayor's office, but we're also a 501c3. So we have an opportunity to raise outside funds. The great thing about our organization is 100% of what's coming in by donation goes out to our community and our young people. Folks around the table might argue with me that I feel like I have the best job in government because what Partners for Youth does is we really have an opportunity to identify the community people who really want to join us arm in arm, hand in hand, to deal with some of these real pervasive issues. We've talked a lot about, you know, what our city partners are doing, but Partners for Youth has an opportunity to see and to fund, I should say, with our grassroots grant program. Every year we fund around $80,000 to $100,000 worth of mini grants. And these are really grassroots efforts to identify what can be done in our more vulnerable communities to make a difference. And beyond just funding these programs, Partners for Youth pulls together those 40 to 50 programs at least twice a year for opportunities to get them to network. Because if we've got a wonderful program in the West End for teen moms, the program in Cardinal Valley needs to learn about that. And we really feel like our work is about community building, and it's about relationship building. And
Let me ask you, Laura, what's the direct connection for this, the services you're providing, to the gun violence issue? I mean, are young people part of the problem with the as perpetrators of gun violence, or I know certainly young people are affected as victims of gun violence. And both the chief and the mayor
forgive me, John, but I want to tee up Laura for her to tell a very succinct story about an intervention that she created following the tragic Trinity gay death and her involvement with Lafayette, the kids, students at Lafayette.
You know, when that murder happened, and I will just say that all these murders that you listed with our young people, we take them all personally, whether we've known these young men and women or we just know them by being citizens. But when that happened, the mayor's office, we all saw that these young people said that they wanted to have to play a role in doing something. And so the mayor's office called a handful of us with police and fire and Partners for Youth and social services around the table to meet with those young people at Lafayette. And we were humbled to sit there and listen. So oftentimes as adults talking about what we need to do for youth, they're not around the table. But in this instance, they were. And we worked with them to develop an anti-violence assembly, a program. And so they've taken that out to the William Wells Brown Community Center for about 50 young people who live in the East End to talk to them about, you know, how to avoid guns, how to avoid drugs and bullying. And it's the peer-to-peer relationships, that's what's going to make the biggest difference, we think.
You know, it sounds simplistic almost, John, and I'll hurry with this, but Laura's work is so effective when you use the word collaboration, when we use the word pulling people, language of pulling, actually bringing people together, identify the problem, and these kids were reaching out. We worked with the schools. We worked with the superintendent. We worked with the principal at Lafayette in order to engage this initiative. And now the kids feel, you know, these students feel empowered.
We're going to take another short break and continue with this week's Eastern Standard as we talk about gun violence in Lexington. We're interested in your questions, your comments, your personal stories. Feel free to email us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. After the show will be repeated and will be available as a podcast. Feel free to carry on a dialogue on our Facebook page or the WEKU website. Our phone number on this Thursday morning, 800-621-8890. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, 800-621-8890, our phone number, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com is our email address, and you can send a tweet at WEKUEST. Gun violence in Lexington is our topic. Mayor Jim Gray is with us. Actually, we're with Mayor Jim Gray and Chief Barnard at City Hall in downtown Lexington live on this Thursday morning. Also with us, Laura Hatfield, Executive Director of Partners for Youth, and Chris Ford, Commissioner of Social Services and former council member. Thanks to all, by the way, of Lexington, Fayette, Urban County Government for making us making it possible for us to do this program from a 12th floor conference room at the City Hall. And again, we're talking about the youth and gun violence. We're talking about the root causes of violence in our community with Chief Barnard and Mayor Gray. And Chief, I know I saw you ready to jump into the conversation here based on what you're hearing.
Well, I think historically we've looked across law enforcement through the United States as addressing this issue and being the ones that are very in the front. And that's for an enforcement issue, and that's for putting people and introducing them in the criminal justice system. You were asking Laura how does her programs absolutely affect, and I think we have to break the old model of looking at public safety as just law enforcement and fire departments and the detention center. Public safety is something that everyone's responsible for. And Mayor Gray, when we started looking and addressing this and not only doing the inventory, but what is it that we're affecting directly to crime? And these programs, when you were asking, how does Laura's programs do it? Well, it's called intervention. So we know right now the police are getting back into schools with our DARE program. DARE program showed that it didn't really affect drug rates, but what it did was have a great relationship with the kids in the schools. If they know that they can go to law enforcement, know that law enforcement officer personally, they're more apt to talk to that individual. Laura's programs, we know, and this is the hard truth about it, because we see it every day, we're not going to save every child. We're not going to save every person from gun violence or from someone being someone that's victimizing someone else. We have to provide, through the programs that Laura and Social Services and the police department are doing, the opportunity to identify young people or people with opportunity that want to not go down that path and give them the opportunities. And that's what those programs do. Carter G. Woodson's a great example of a school here that we really have with C.B. Akins, that he is really, and all those kids go to that school, they volunteer to go to this school, they are groomed and they are all going to colleges and universities and getting scholarships because they want to. But that school provides opportunities for people that want to go out and not be part of drugs or violence, and they have a zero tolerance with it. Providing those opportunities, listening to the community about what the issues are, bringing those issues back. Laura does a great thing with focus group with youth. We've done courageous conversations when we went down to Charleston at Mother Emanuel, and that was a powerful trip with the Chamber of Commerce. And violent crime affects everyone in the city.
Well, and let me ask Mayor Jim Gray, we talk about the social services, we talk about working with the youth, we talk about the trying to find the root causes of violence in our community. I understand you're also talking to the faith community, you're talking to various aspects of the community. Can you talk a little bit about the scope of organizations and groups that you've actually interacted with on this problem?
Yeah, this is part of the inventory, John, that we're actually taking today. Chris has an illustration here. If you've got a listening audience and not a viewing audience,
we'll get a picture. Maybe we can tweet this out.
Yeah, we will get a picture of it to tweet that illustrates just how many resources in the city that are dedicated to improving the lives. Let's put it that way. Of young people.
And Commissioner Chris Ford, why don't you describe what you've got
well,
over there?
It's about partnerships. And as the mayor in chief and Laura has illustrated, Lexington is very fortunate to have nonprofits and community organizations and faith-based groups who've long been engaged with what we're doing here at City Hall. We know that the answers don't lie just solely here at City Hall on 200 East Main Street. We know that we can't do this work alone, and more importantly, we don't want to. We know that we want to have our community leaders involved. Here inside government, I think Chief Barnard just mentioned their role outside of enforcement. And what we've been able to do here lately is kind of tear down silos. More agencies across our government are talking hand in hand. There's so many different initiatives, progressive initiatives that have occurred in the last 6 years of our administration. And most of those have resulted from feedback and some public input activity that led to the creation of a new workforce development manager and a substance abuse and violence intervention and a full-time domestic violence coordinator and a full-fledged homelessness and housing programs and
affordable housing, right.
Safe parks, diversity officer. And our challenge now, and we are very much looking forward to it, is how do we connect all those pieces to the benefit of the greater community so our residents in Lexington know what we're focused on and they can advise us what we need to be focused on. It's about synergy and partnerships.
Eastern Standard is an interactive program. Let's go ahead and see if we can get some listeners involved in the conversation.
Sure.
And communicating with Brian Bartlett back at the controls at the studio. Let's talk to line five. Let's see if Belinda from Lexington is still on the line there. Belinda, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Excellent. Very, very well, Belinda. Thank you for being part of our program. Go right ahead with your question or your comment.
Yes, My name is Belinda Sneed. I'm a member of the board of the Build Justice Organization. We're a faith-based organization in the city, and we are one that has worked in the past with the mayor and the commissioner to win affordable housing in this community. So my comment and question today is, you mentioned the declining crime rate, but failed to mention that the homicide rates are the highest that they've been in 15 years. So my question is, are the mayor and the chief and the commissioner considering best practices in other communities like those that are afforded from the National Network for Safe Communities? They are the gold standard for developing police strategies for cities throughout our nation. They're nationally recognized. And again, I'd like to remind the mayor, we look forward to his leadership on April 25th. There are going to be 2,000 of our members from various congregations across the city of Lexington that are looking to his leadership to address the violent crime and deaths that have occurred in our city at the Nehemiah Action and Heritage Hall.
Mm-hmm. All right. Belinda, thank you so much for your call and for raising
Belinda, thank you so much. I've always appreciated the work of Build. As you mentioned, we worked together in creating the Affordable Housing Trust. Build was an extraordinary advocate for that. And it took us, as it sometimes appropriately does, to examine an issue carefully and thoughtfully. Today, what we're doing in our city is examining these issues carefully and thoughtfully. And we appreciate the input of the Build organization. There are examples of best practices across the country. Many of those best practices have been introduced in Lexington. Some of those best practices have actually been initiated by Lexington. And that's why especially Lexington's police force, is recognized as one of the best in the country. We're proud of that, but as I've said, we're all about continuous improvement, all about waking up every morning and saying, how can we improve today what we did yesterday? And Chief Barnard has been a long advocate for examining what is the best approach to dealing with crime, not just in Lexington, but across the country. I'm gonna let him share some thoughts on this as well.
Well, I think you look at every initiative and you look at the studies and see how they'd affect the community and if it works. One plan's not going to work in every community consistently because they're different. That's why we don't have a national police force. We have local police force, state police forces. And so I think you have to evaluate each one based on its merit, look how it would affect each community and if that community supports it or not. We've looked at initiatives through over the years. We've taken what we think are some of the best parts of each initiative and tried to implement those. We constantly review our initiatives and try to put them in place so that we give the best service to our community. So we constantly evaluate our practices, and we'll continue to do it.
And Chief, is there a buzzword or a specific program that's out there right now? Because I'm going to date myself when I mention right. Community-oriented policing or drug abuse resistance education. I mean, these are all things that have gone on over the last few decades as efforts, and sometimes I think people might think they're gimmicks of efforts of law enforcement to show that they're trying to be involved in the community.
Well, I think when you look at the big buzzword is community-oriented policing right now.
Okay.
But to really do that, you really have to be engaged in the community. You really have to be talking to groups. That's one of the things that we've been doing. You have to be back into the schools. That's why this roundtable, this is like a staff meeting that we have when the mayor calls us in and says, what are we doing? How are we affecting it? And looking at those. So community-oriented policing for us is really getting back and letting the community know who we are. We've got to get back in the schools. We stopped that for 9 years, and we're paying the price for it now because we don't have that relationship value. We're getting back in the schools. The officers are getting back into the programs with the kids, are getting back into the neighborhood associations, getting back into faith-based communities. Honestly, they've been brought into us and helping us with some of the initiatives we're doing. And the best part of it is we're not carrying the load completely, so we're looking at spreading it out. I wrote Step by Step because Laura was talking about that. That's a wonderful program of young ladies that aren't married, that have children, and are learning how to be adults and how to be a good parent. And this is a group that really we met with, that they invited us to come speak to them, and it was an inspiring group because they all want to be good parents or they wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely have this program stepping out to help those young ladies to make sure, one, they learn how to work, two, how to be a good parent, and providing opportunities. The most important thing that I see as chief right now, and I see a lot of groups, is bringing everyone together. And if people are interested in helping, all they have to do is call. We can find a group for them to work with. There are so many groups out there doing things.
Let's go back to the phone and see if on line three, if Jeff from Lexington is still on the line. If so, we're very grateful that you've stuck with us there. Jeff, are you there? Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Jeff, and I would just want to commend the mayor and the police chief and Ford and Law on the work that they're doing. I'm a supporter of you all, and I'm looking for the best for our community. I'm also a supporter of the continuous improvement model, which provides us the awareness that 20% of our issues are the kids who have the most problems. So 8% of the kids are doing as they are expected to do. And so my concern is, to what degree are we relegating the funding for punish for youth to that 20% that we know are the issue? That's number one. And then number two, have you considered gun safety classes for this 20% group? We know that the culture of inner city, urban kids is changed. It's become a gun-toting culture. And I rural kids have training because they have been involved with guns for a long time.
Okay, I think we've got your question and your points there, Jeff, and we're going to get Commissioner Ford to jump in here.
You might
want to
repeat it so it's clear. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit unclear hearing because of the speakerphone connection there, but thank you, Jeff, for being part of the show.
Right. I think Jeff's message was a lot of the kids are doing quite well in our community. There's a lot of kids that are excelling, but there are a small number that are having greater challenges than others. And I think Jeff's question was, are we equating the necessary resources to reach and drill down to the needs of those families?
And he certainly also mentioned issues of gun safety classes, training people to be safe with
right.
guns.
Well, and I think, you know, for the adults who are managing guns also is always an important point. I like to focus on the kids that need the help the most. And again, in our Department of Social Services, we work with social workers all across our community. We end the month of March being National Social Work Month. We have 30 social workers in our department. We've refocused our attention to the west end of Lexington with our Black and Williams Neighborhood Center, which provides youth services and adult services. We're fortunate today for a community who has expressed need to have 8 social workers on staff, ready and able to help families in need of parental and caregiver support. We know that more families these days are being led by grandmothers, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. And so we know that we want to provide those attentions. It's not going to be easy, but the skills and training of our social workers really will be a support not only to families, but to the greater community as well.
All right. Thank you so much for that call. I want to point out something that has been in the news in this past week. We've heard that there's been a study, and 55% of homes in Kentucky have firearms. Only 15% of them are keeping them locked up and unloaded. That's a poll by the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. Chief Barnard, what do you think about that situation and that statistic?
Well, I think if you have a firearm, you have to be responsible with it. One, I think that's your responsibility. And not only that, John, but we see a lot of them stolen out of vehicles here in Lexington. We had one vehicle where 3 firearms, unsecured, were stolen out of a vehicle the other night. That lends to victimization of someone else. And it was a juvenile that stole the firearms. And we ended up buying those firearms back through a deal that we got back and placing charges. But the fact that everybody has to realize that everyone plays a role in public safety and making our community safe. If you have a firearm, and the gentleman talked about firearm classes for juveniles, the most important part of that, if you're a parent and your son or daughter is under the age and not supposed to be having a firearm, you should take care of that. I mean, that's a responsibility that we have in this public safety as a social contract that we all give up certain rights so that everyone's safe. Parenting plays a lot of the roles of what we're seeing right now, and some parents just don't have the skills. And so that's where Chris's group comes in to help them to be responsible parents. But if you have a firearm, ultimately that's your responsibility to ensure its safety.
We're coming down to the wire here toward the end of our program, and let me ask Mayor Jim Gray to kind of help us out, summarize from your point of view, from the view of the mayor's office, this whole issue of gun violence. What can we be expecting to see in you've got your budget address coming up, but in coming weeks or months, a discussion on how the community is going to tackle this issue of gun violence?
Well, John, I think whenever what I've learned in public service is that whenever issues elevate themselves in the public awareness, that the public leadership responds. And the response can often be reactive or it can be proactive. And what we've been describing today are the proactive initiatives that we're undertaking as a city. And it's not just the government, but it's those partners in the private sector, in the faith community, that are also a big part of this. That's what we can expect more of. Now, as a city, we are also investing more in direct services. And those direct services include public safety, include policing. A safe city is a city where people want to live, where people want to contribute. And we know that. We know, too, that we've always got to focus on, I used this language earlier, Chris used it, Chief did, Laura did, continuous improvement. That's what this is really all about. It's bringing together all the resources, comprehensively understanding what these resources are committed to, and leveraging then those resources to be most effective within a really challenging environment. And we acknowledge that we need help. And I think that's a big first step, if a city needs help. We need it from the federal government. We need it from the state government. We need it from our citizens.
I'm wondering, Mayor, if there are people in our listening audience who want to help. They have ideas they want to contribute. They want to somehow get involved and help on this issue or other serious issues in the community. Right. Where do they go? Can they contact you? Can they come to the police department? Can they come to social services or Partners for Youth and offer their services?
And a number 211 is a good number if you've got a specific need. Dial 211. That's a United Way initiative. But by calling, I have people call the mayor's office routinely. And just like Belinda Sneed was saying earlier, they know very effectively how to be advocates.
We're out of
the
time.
Build organization.
Mayor Jim
Thank
Gray,
you.
Chief Mark Barnard, Commissioner Chris Ford, and Laura of the Partners for Youth, Laura Hatfield, thank you for being part of our program. Thanks to Brian Bartlett. Thanks to Noah Day. Thanks to Marissa Hempel for putting our program together. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations.